Starting first, with the economic numbers that are coming through, these still reflect the period, I think, where we've had really good income support policies coming through from the government, particularly so in places like the United States and here in Australia. Now, as we know, in the United States, the unemployment benefit supplement got stuck because it was due to be legislated to continue from late August, the extra $600 US a week. It's been stuck in the legislature running into this very fractious US presidential election campaign. So the numbers we're getting out of the United States, you'd have to say that there's a risk that as income support fades, particularly for those unemployment benefits, we might see some of these numbers starting to peel back a bit. But oddly enough, there's still no evidence really of it in the numbers that we've had. So we had things like August existing home sales came out last week and August new home sales, both at least up to market expectations and actually stronger in the case of new home sales. Existing home sales for the month of August lifted 2.4%. That's what the market expected, but it was after a 24.7% rise the month before. So it's consolidating at a very, very high level. And new home sales, the market thought this would actually come back, probably minus 0.1%. The month before, we'd had a 13.9% increase. Well, the 13.9% increase was actually revised upwards to 14.7%. And then the August month was plus 4.8% on top of that. So we're running at record highs for new home sales in the US, and it's one of the reasons why it's hard to start to call too much of a breakdown in these economic numbers for the US, because right at the leading edge, housing is going absolutely gangbusters for the time being. So there's a fair bit of strength running through that. We also had strength in most of the other numbers too. So we had manufacturing PMI came out. These are September numbers too. And the services sector PMI, the manufacturing PMI went up a touch, and a bit more than the market expected, to 53.5 from 53.1. And the services sector PMI, which had a really good bounce to 55 going back the month before, still held virtually all of that and was 54.6 for the most recent month. At the very end of the week, we had durable goods orders, not quite as strong as the market expected, but they still rose. And so in August, we had durable goods orders up 0.4% on top of an 11.7% increase the month before. And core durable goods orders also up 0.4% after being up 3.2%. It's not all about the numbers in the US, though. Quite clearly, we've got, you don't hear a lot about it now, but, last week they went through 200,000 deaths for COVID, and there was some talk that by January next year, that could be over 400,000. COVID-19 is having a pretty big second wave in the US. Having said that, it's not as pronounced as the second wave that's occurring just over the Atlantic in Europe, where there's obviously a much bigger second wave starting to show there. And on top of that, we got the US presidential election, which is becoming more fractious. And this week, one of the key events this week, apart from the data, is going to be the first of the three presidential debates between Joe Biden and President Trump. to be honest, this will be even to imagine Sleepy Joe, if he can manage to stay awake in the debate, and Donald Trump, who can't string a coherent sentence together. It'll be quite an interesting debate in many ways, but it will have some influence probably as far as markets are concerned as they look ahead. And some of the factors that worried the market over the past week have been some of the questions put to President Trump about, what happens if you do happen to lose the election? Can you promise a peaceful transition? And for a start, he's saying, I'm not accepting I'm going to lose the election. And even if that's what the election result says, I'm not necessarily going to accept that. He refused to say that there would be any sort of peaceful transition. And on top of that, he sort of... he upped the ante with the unfortunate consequence of Ruth Bader Ginsburg popping off over the past week and putting in his own nominee into the High Court. That's still got to be ratified by Congress, but that itself could be a point of fracture. Certainly a very talented lady, but a very conservative one, sort of shifting the balance on the 9-bench High Court to 6-3 in favour of the Conservatives. That could be important in terms of any High Court challenge that occurs after the US election, when that occurs in November. So all these things are coming into the mix. But, you know, if we're looking at the data, probably most of the data we're going to get through the course of this week is still going to be okay. The main focus, obviously, is going to be non-farm payrolls coming up right at the end of the week. And still looking for, you know, a reasonable rise in non-farm payrolls, because much of the economy is still opening up and recovering after COVID shutdowns. So non-farm payrolls on Friday are expected to lift another 850,000. That was after 1,371,000. You know, these are starting to peer back a bit now, and they still haven't recovered all of that 22 million loss that occurred in just 1 month going back to April. But the unemployment rate, which has been surprising on the downside of market expectations over the last few months, it was at 8.4%. In the month of August, market thinks it'll come down to 8.2. Be interesting to see if we get another downside surprise on that one. So watching to see where that one comes out. In amongst all these, we've got some of the ISM type survey data for the manufacturing sector. The ISM September survey was at 56, expected to be 56.2. We've also got consumer confidence and consumer sentiment readings coming out through the course of the week. Both of them expect to rise, so particularly the consumer confidence survey, which comes out on Tuesday night, expects to lift to 89.2 from 84.8. So many of these readings, as I say, are still coming in reasonably well for the time being in the US, but with this cloud, if they can't get the income support measures through Congress, and you know, it looks increasingly unlikely. It's going to be very, very difficult in this this run through to the election campaign. Quite weak in China, so we've had no more data there, and we haven't even had any more sort of saber rattling from China through the course of this past week. People's Bank of China did meet. They left their cash rate unchanged at 3.85%, so no more policy measures in China. This week in China, we'll get the manufacturing PMI, non-manufacturing PMIs coming out. They're expected to hold up, and it's also a week with a few holidays in China towards the end of the week as well. So the September manufacturing PMI, the official reading of that coming out on Wednesday, is expected to lift to 51.2 from 51. Non-manufacturing PMI, 55.2, may hold that. It's pretty elevated. And we'll also get, before the holidays, the private sector manufacturing PMI, the cakes in manufacturing PMI for September coming out. That one was at 53.1, a pretty strong reading going back the month before, expected to hold there for the current week. In Australia last week, we had the speech from Deputy Governor Guy DeBell, which was interesting, talking about what potentially they could do with monetary policy and the state of the economy. He was a little bit downbeat on the risks facing the Australian economy. You know, there was an admission that things are actually turning out better than they expected, but they don't expect it to persist because there are some downside risks that are sitting out there. And he also gave a hint that they could reduce rates further. And it's not that they're going to push them into negative territory. He was still very resistant to that in the parts of the speech which covered that. But this sets the scene for maybe it's a 15 basis point reduction to 0.1. There's a possibility of that now. And given what he said, I think I'll stick that into our forecast when I'm next asked. Instead of being 0.25% for the foreseeable future, probably 0.1. When do they do that? There's a complication there because the next Reserve Bank board meeting is the same day as the budget in the evening. Maybe they want to send a message of coordination. I don't know. It could be at the October meeting. probably no later than the November meeting. So either October or November, then probably now seems likely that we get another very small reduction in rates. The other factor we had last week, too, was the change to bank lending requirements and announced by the Treasurer. You know, these won't come into effect till March next year. But it's an interesting one because many of those changes to requirements for bank lending, the requirements for information that had to be supplied to banks, were actually recommended by the Banking Royal Commission. And now the government's sort of backtracking on those, ostensibly in the because they want to get credit moving again. But it is an interesting circumstance. You know, we could have you know, easier lending conditions at the same time as monetary policy is being eased further. You know, they really are trying to push things ahead again. But as we know, how far can you trust the banks to do the right thing in terms of lending? Will it be a case of you know? Let's go and employ the salesman back into the home loan area again. There's risk with this sort of stuff, and it won't be there obviously in the very near term. Near term actually makes things look a lot better. One of the reasons why the bank shares took a sort of huge rise on the back of the announcement last week. There's obvious risks when you look a little bit further down the track from that. We also had some data last week. We had the preliminary August retail sales. Unsurprisingly, there was a fall on this. We've had some very strong rises, but this was the first month where we had Victorian lockdown for the whole of that month. So there was over 11% reduction in retail sales in Victoria in that month. And national retail sales fell by 4.2%. There were small reductions in most other states, but otherwise retail sales were holding up. They're still up over 6% compared with where they were this time last year. So still, broadly speaking, relatively firm, even with that very large reduction that ran through Victoria. We also had a preliminary reading of international trade right at the end of the week for the month of August, and it was a case of both exports and imports falling. Exports fell 2%, imports fell 7%. So over the next week or so, we'll get the trade balance for the month, and it's probably expanded to a bigger surplus again. We did contract a bit to $4.9 billion surplus going back to the month of July. That's probably expanded when we add services into this out to something like about sort of $5.5 billion. But that's a figure that comes out at the beginning of next month. But it was just the first hint of that. This week in Australia, we'll get a little bit of credit data coming out in the middle of the week on Wednesday, and this is for the month of August. Credit has been just slowly edging down over the last few months, minus 0.1% last month, probably another minus 0.1%. That'll bring the annual change in credit growth down from 2.4% to about 2.1%. We also get August home building approvals on the same day. Home building approvals just roared going back to July, which is a bit of a surprise, up by 12% in 1 month. We expect some pullback on that, so looking for minus 2 on the back of that. On Thursday, we have the August quarter job vacancies. These have been lifting of late, they did get down to a very low level going back to May, we're expecting something like about a 30-odd% bounce on job vacancies as parts of the economy opened up heading towards August. And on Friday, we've got the final reading of August retail trade, which should be around that preliminary reading of minus 4.2% compared with the 3.2% increase going back the month before. But not a lot in the data there to give much direction to things. If anything, people are very much focused now towards the first week of October, proper week of October, next week. And on Tuesday in particular, you've got both the Reserve Bank and that budget statement on that day. And as we're hearing, you know, the budget is going to be a very, very expansionary affair now. It's going to be an interesting shift too, because some of the income support, you know, obviously they'll confirm that income support, which has actually faded a little bit in terms of JobKeeper and JobSeeker, the tapering down of those payments that occurred about now. For JobKeeper, it was back on Friday, and for JobSeeker, it's today, where those supplementary payments are just fading back a bit. But there will be an awful lot focused on spending money to try and drive up jobs growth in the budget when it comes through next week. But we'll talk about that again probably early next week. In Europe last week, we had September consumer confidence and manufacturing and services sector PMIs came out. The consumer confidence survey was a bit better than expected, -13.9 from -14.7. The manufacturing PMI was a lot stronger than expected, 53.7 from 51.7 the month before. The services sector PMI, though, took a bit of a dive, down to 47.6 from 50.5. And that's probably relating to issues around tourism again now, because the COVID-19 rate, infection rate has lifted very, very substantially in parts of Europe. In the United Kingdom, they're running up towards 5,000 new cases a day. In France, they've hit 13,000 on a day at times over the past week. And in the case of the UK, they've gone back to greater restrictions. They haven't quite shut things down again yet, except in one or two hotspots. But they're sort of heading that way because of the infection rate. And France is in a similar position, so it's not surprising that the services sector PMI is starting to reflect that very substantial second wave that we've seen running through Europe. Europe this week, we get some business and consumer sentiment survey data for September coming out today. 89.5, we think, from 87.7. We also get things like CPI. CPI is running -0.2% year on year in Europe, not likely to change very much. And we'll also get the unemployment rate for Europe. It has held down very, very well. Going back to July, it was 7.9%. It is expected to lift a little bit to 8.1%. But what we're seeing just about everywhere around the world with the income support measures that have been put in place, and what I would say about these income support measures, whereas we've got a bit of a taper in ours where we've had the legislative disruption to some of the US ones, that's not the case in Europe. They're doing badly as far as COVID's concerned, but their income support measures are some of the most certain in the world. For example, Germany has extended its income support measures in total all the way through to the end of 2021. So income support is more certain in Europe than it is anywhere else on the planet. So basically the unemployment rate may throw some surprises. It may actually hold down better than expected as we go forward, even though you're getting parts of the economy shut down again because of the because of COVID-19. But broadly speaking, this week, I suspect the focus is going to be towards the United States, particularly as we get towards that presidential election debate during the course of the week. But otherwise, we still have some supports there. Whilst we've had some setbacks in parts of the market over the course of the past week or so, it's still that. It's setbacks. There's still some pretty good support for bounces in the way in which the data is running in particular.